Yes.
Good evening. I call the October 21st meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Commissioner Jack, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Certainly. Place your hand over your heart. Repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Jack. Let's have the roll call, please.
Commissioner Hetherington. Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner Moreno.
Here.
Commissioner O'Grady. Commissioner O'Keefe.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Jack.
Here.
Chairperson Fonzie.
Here, and I'd like the record to show that it was an excused absence for Commissioner O'Grady and Commissioner Hetherington, please.
Okay. Five present, two absent with excuse.
Thank you, Suzanne. Let's move on to the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Jack. A second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Marks. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's now time for the public comment portion of our hearing. If anybody would like to speak on an item that is not on the agenda and over which the committee...
Candidate forum, there was a reciting of the mantra of building trust by always being forthright and honorable in our dealings with each other. And it's in that context that I speak tonight. In June of this year, I was forwarded an email from a reporter inquiring if the allegations in the email were true. And I will read from this email, which is addressed to uncoveredslo.com. It's dated June 1st, 2008, and the subject is a Tascadero City Council controversy. And I will quote, "Ms. Vili, having read your website, if you are interested in being taken seriously, you might want to ask other than the partisans who use character assassination as their stock and trade about what happened between O'Malley and Brenler. The other side of the story is that Mayor Brenler has a very bad habit of waving his finger in people's face, literally, and uses physical intimidation to make a point. He has done this to women in the past. He did it to my wife on one occasion, literally coming across the table at her." The email is signed Al Fonzie. Due to my time limit, I won't read the remainder of the email, which is lengthy. But I will say that to be accused in this manner is symptomatic of the very problems that we face in America with politics. We face those nationwide, statewide, and locally. And perhaps this is one of the reasons why people are reluctant to run for public office. I don't know when things will get better, but I am asking one of you tonight to do what's honorable and publicly repudiate the allegation that I had physically intimidated you and that I had literally come across the table at you, as indicated in this email. And with that said, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Commission. Jim Shannon. I'm here also not to really speak on anything before you tonight, but also probably to touch on kind of the things he did. I'm very disappointed at a member of our commission who for the last 2 years has been very damaging to our community. It's fine that she gets up here and speaks the things that she does, but if she wants to do that, she needs to step away as a commissioner and do it as a private citizen, because whether she's up here as she's sitting here tonight doing her job and she's still on that board, on that commission, she still represents the city. And it's an embarrassment to me and an embarrassment to a lot of people in this community the way that she has continuously threatened, intimidated, and stood over the shoulders of city staff, constantly coming up there and intimidating and accusing city staff of stuff that need to be cleaned up. And it's an embarrassment to me for her to continue just to get up here and do this. I know that you guys are each appointed by a city council member. City council members are elected by us, the citizens, so you guys also answer to us. And with that being said, I just wish that each of you would take a minute or two and tell me what you think your responsibilities are as a commission member. I don't think it's intimidating the public or city staff or making accusations that have been going on for 2 years with no actual proof of any of this stuff. And again, it's an embarrassment. It's rude. There's a lot of hate in there. There's a lot of bitterness there. And me as a citizen who loves this community, like I'm sure all of you do, am very tired of this division going on. And it doesn't matter which person is, who's elected this next round and who's going to be sitting on our city council and on our planning commission, I do have more time on my hand. I am going to get more involved, and I'm going to point out the things that aren't right that we as citizens in this community are tired of. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. It's just, we're not going to take it anymore. And I'm going to be one to stand up here and talk about it, because nobody else seems to want to. And I'm very, very disappointed in the way that I know Mr. Brindley's here, but I've talked to him about this person before, and nothing has been done. It's an embarrassment to our city. You got to hear what people say about this person beyond our city and what an embarrassment it is. And this needs to be taken care of and taken seriously. And this commissioner needs to take a look at herself and maybe take a second look at what she's causing the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Would anybody else like to address the commission on any item? Seeing none, I close the public comment portion. Would any commissioners like to talk about the public comment at this time? Commissioner Jack?
Well, I'll speak to Mr. Shannon's comments, because I sit here with the idea, and I told the council person that appointed me, Jerry Clay, that I was only interested in doing what was best for the city, not my own interests, not his interests, not anyone else's. And I think that anyone that sits on the commission needs to set aside personal agendas. And I think they need to listen to the public. They need to listen to the applicants. And this is what I attempt to do. I try to come here without see the city grow, prosper, and be representative of what the majority of the citizens want. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Jack. Anyone else? I would like to address Mayor Brendler and ask that you speak to me after the meeting, if you would, sir. I don't think this is the appropriate time and place to air these types of issues before the public. Let's move on to Planning Commission business, disclosure of ex parte communications.
Excuse me, Chair Ponzi, I'll provide you with a copy of the email just so that you have a full flavor of what was said.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Commissioner Marks, any ex parte?
No, nothing to disclose.
No disclosure.
No disclosure.
I met with Bob Friedrichsen today, the applicant for tonight's that's on tonight's agenda. And if I may, I'd like to take a moment to. I would suggest, after visiting this property, understanding some of the things that are going on in the county with regard to water, a general plan, and that every one of the commissioners take the time to go out and look at this property, because it's unusual. It raises some issues, and it's something that I don't believe is black and white. So I would encourage everyone to go take a look at the property and talk to Mr. Friedrichsen. He's trying to do what is right and follow our rules and regulations, but like many other people, he is not aware of a lot of them. He was very appreciative of the fact that I came out there to see what the situation is out there, and I think we'd all get a benefit of seeing that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Jack. Commissioner O'Keefe?
And I actually have no ex parte. I did go out to the property, but the gate was locked, and there was no telephone call, so I was not able to get onto the property.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to the consent calendar. We just have one item, the approval of the minutes of the regular planning commission meeting of September 16th. Do I have a motion for that?
So moved.
I have some questions.
Okay, go ahead, Commissioner.
There. And then on page 3, and I may have said this, but if I did say this, sometimes things aren't clear. Manzanita trees are not native. It's not, manzanitas are typically considered bushes, and they are native, but they're not protected in the native tree ordinance. And possibly I didn't say that clearly, but is it possible to get that change so misinformation, there's probably not that many people that read that, but it is incorrect.
Thank you. Are there any other changes or amendments?
Okay, and I have one more.
One more? Go ahead, Joan.
And this is for staff. It said on Eagle Creek, the fire department has completed weed abatement. I thought that the city did the weed abatement.
What page?
Pardon?
What page?
That's page 6. The third paragraph from the bottom. And it's the last sentence in that third paragraph. On Eagle Creek, the fire department has completed weed abatement, and the permits are still active. Does the fire department do the weed abatement, or does the city do the weed abatement?
The fire department administrates the program. It's done by a contractor.
Okay. All right. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Suzanne, did you get that, or would you like us to go through it again? Thank you. Okay. We have a...
I move we approve the minutes as amended.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Jack. Do we have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
I think I had a second from Commissioner Moreno. Vote, please.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Suzanne. Let's see. Do we have a public hearing tonight, or do we not?
We do not. Staff is asking the commission to continue this next item. We have determined that there's some problems with the site plan in regards to the location of the septic system. We need some time with the applicant to get that straightened out so that we bring the correct exhibits before the commission. So we'd request you just continue the item.
All right. Will that be continued to the next meeting or to a date uncertain?
Date uncertain.
Very good. All right, let's move on to the community development staff reports, the city park and trail system briefing.
Mr. Cherry.
Thank you, Warren. Chairperson Fonzie, members of the Planning Commission, it's a pleasure to be here this evening. It's been a couple of years since I had the opportunity to address you. This evening, as Warren mentioned, we're just going to give you a brief overview of our park system, kind of let you know some of the projects and issues that we have at each location throughout the city, and talk a little bit about trails and a big trail project we have coming up, and then give you an opportunity to ask questions. And so we'll just go ahead and get right into it. The first location I wanted to tell you about is Apple Valley Park, and some of you commissioners probably remember approving this track map. This project has a wonderful neighborhood park located within the development. It's approximately 5.5 acres, and I like to refer to it as is probably the hidden or the unknown public park in Atascadero. It is maintained by the private maintenance assessment district there, and it is predominantly used by those in the immediate neighborhood. However, it's a beautiful little park. We had a wonderful person who worked to make sure that a lot of the native trees on the location were saved. In fact, many more trees were saved than the original plans called for. So you will see some of the original apple trees out there, as well as some oaks that were preserved as well. And so if any of you ever have a chance to go over and visit that park, it's a terrific place for a picnic, to throw the Frisbee. It's just one of those places that not too many people in Atascadero know about. Going from that relatively obscure park, we're going to talk a little bit about Colony Park. Colony Park, formerly known as Traffic Way Park, has been transformed into probably one of the premier parks within the city's park system, primarily because we were able to build a 19,000-square-foot community center there, known as the Colony Park Community Center, and that has really changed the nature of that park very, very dramatically. What we've got going on there is a small teen center that if you go over there any day of the week after school, after 3 p.m., you'll see that it's jam-packed with kids, and you can see a little bit of the used by Atascadero girls softball, but they're also used this time of year by Atascadero soccer. The very young children play at Traffic Way or Colony Park on those fields this time of year. One of the things we were able to do with this project, in addition to adding parking, we were able to install a group picnic area, which you can see in the slide behind me here. We added a nice group picnic area which can be used by the soccer teams, the youth soccer teams, as well as the softball teams and people attending the park there to visit Colony Park. We also have some new outdoor basketball hoops which have been added outdoors, and it's just been a tremendously popular project since it opened in January. In fact, I'm going to give a briefing to the City Council on Colony Park in November. One of the things that's coming up here in this next year with regard to Colony Park is that we have to revise the park master plan. What's on the slide or the screen behind me is a slide which shows the site plan for the Colony Park Community Center, but what we've ended up doing is having to go back and revisit the park master plan, because originally the two ball fields that you see here, where they are currently located, were supposed to move to this location and be reoriented. And we have currently a wastewater overflow basin located there. Pump Station 5, a wastewater collection system, is located at Colony Park. Through that pump station flows about 80% of our city's effluent. So that pump station has to remain. And we do need the overflow basin, but we don't need the large overflow basin that we have there now. The original plan under former city engineer Steve Kahn was to actually put the overflow, any wastewater overflow that may occur in peak flow times, under the ball fields here. Well, since the master plan was done, we found out that it really isn't feasible to underground the overflow. So therefore, we are going to need a new, smaller overflow basin, and it will be located right here. This is where Pump Station 5 is, right here, and the new basin will go right in this area, right here, a swimming pool better than the current location where it's shown on the master plan now. So you'll probably see some news about the revision of the Colony Park master plan shortly after the first of the year. Moving on to Atascadero Lake Park, obviously the lake park is probably the best known of all of our parks. Some people refer to it as the living room for our community because so many things go on there, everything from concerts in the park, Children's Day in the park, car shows, many special events. It's adjacent to the Lake Pavilion, as you know, and the Charles Paddock Zoo. One of the things you may not know is that the lake park is approximately 44 acres, and about 20, let me check my numbers here. Of that 44 acres at the lake park, the lake itself is 26 acres. And so one of the things that is an issue there is water quality at the lake. Many of you know that the lake is really a pond, and it acts like a pond, particularly this time of year when it's drawn down so far due to evaporation. The water heats up. We have algae blooms. And this year we narrowly avoided a large fish die-off, and we haven't had one for many years. But it's something that the Public Works Department has done a great job working on, and we've got some new things out there, including a solar bee, which is a solar-powered apparatus that sort of looks like a spaceship or maybe a satellite that crashed in the lake. And underwater, you don't see it, but it's got some paddles, and it circulates the water. We also planted some aquatic floating islands out there in the lake this year, and all of that's contributing to better water quality at the lake right now. One of the great improvements that the Public Works Department and the Community Services Department were able to achieve this year is the group picnic area number 2, which is, you see here in the slide, was completely redone, and it really turned out very nice. It makes it a lot easier also for our staff to mow out there. As you see, there's concrete borders there. There's a nice old-fashioned style water fountain, which you see right here. And we've been able to really improve that area, and it's just been a great addition to the park that just recently occurred this year. And I do have to give kudos and appreciation to Jeff English and all the public work staff. Another fitness area that was donated through the Rotary Club of Atascadero and done by a scout on his scout project. And I should mention that and I was talking earlier to Chairperson Fonzie that the Atascadero Lake Park now has design guidelines. They were adopted a couple of years ago by the City Council and went through the Parks and Recreation Commission. And it's really made a big difference, I think. And we're starting to see, as we replace, repair, renovate a lot of our facilities out there, everything from lighting to signage to fences and buildings, you're starting to see a consistency now in all of the architecture and colors and materials, and a lot of it is done with durability and maintenance in mind. And I wanted to draw your attention to this restroom because you can see it adopts a craftsman style for the architecture out there. So we even have the paint palette and all of that, and you can't see it really well in this slide, but along the bottom of the restroom there's some river rock treatment. All of the buildings will have that in the future. In fact, one of the other things that's going to occur out there, well, it's in a slide coming up in a moment, but the Babe Ruth building, the snack bar out there on the corner at Alvord Field, is going to be replaced. And the construction on that will probably start after the first of the year, and that's going to have the craftsman-style architecture with the river rock around as well. One of the other projects that Public Works was able to achieve this year was the repaving of the parking lot in front of the pavilion and the AARP building, and you can see that in the upper left picture of this slide, as well as we were able to re-landscape the front of the AARP building, which looked very poor in years past. In fact, the way that came about, we had always thought that the vacant area there in front of the building was owned by AARP. Well, we came to find out as we did a title search that they actually only owned the building, and the city owned the landscaped area out in front of the building. So once we found that out, we realized, well, it's our responsibility to go in and make it attractive and clean it up, which we did. And we worked with the folks at AARP, and they were very accommodating. So now we've got this wonderful, it's a hazard. There are no ADA accessible restrooms and things like that. So it's very much time for this building to come down. And this is a partnership between the City of Atascadero and Atascadero Babe Ruth Baseball. Babe Ruth Baseball is contributing some of their funds. They've got up to $50,000 that they're going to put into the building. And then the city's going to do the rest and the construction. And then they also have to replace all of their kitchen appliances to meet new health department standards. So they're making quite an investment in that building, as is the city. And then finally, on this corner of Atascadero Lake Park, I think most of you are aware that a new Veterans Memorial is being installed, and the construction is nearly complete. The dedication ceremony is Saturday, November 8th at 10 a.m., and I think you're going to be amazed at just how powerful and how beautiful this whole corner is going to look when that project is finished. They're laying sod there now, and again, Chairperson Fonzie and I were remarking just what a transformation it's making just almost overnight when you see the sod go in around it. So there's many exciting things happening at the lake park, and we also have a frontage improvement project scheduled for this next year where we're going to be designing, with Warren's help, some improvements to the front of the lake park, where we're going to create pedestrian access along the front of the lake park. We're going to do some landscaping. We're going to put in a new signage for the lake park and zoo. And then the zoo also has some funds where they're going to put up a new perimeter wall, and it will likely be the river rock. And this will create a shield for the animals in the zoo so that it bounces some of the highway sound back away from the animals. But it'll also create a very attractive frontage for the lake park. And one of the other things that's occurring there, and you will see this project come to fruition here before the end of the year, and that is we're going to install a new pedestrian bridge at Santa Rosa there, right by the island. And as you all know, probably our most popular trail in Atascadero is that lake park trail. Hundreds of people use that a day, most days. And that ped bridge is all but falling down that you see there. And this was an improvement project that was also recently completed. We have the borders for the mowing. It really cleaned that up and made it a more formal path through the lake park, and that's been a huge improvement. And you can see some of that trail here in front of the lake pavilion. And I did want to point out this fencing, or that what looks like split rail fencing, is actually concrete fencing, and it's part of the lake park design guidelines. And most people feel it's very attractive, and it's also one of those things that we don't have to spend a lot of time and money maintaining wooden fencing. So that's been a great improvement as well. I mentioned earlier the Charles Paddock Zoo. There's some great things happening there. The zoo has a really exciting master plan, and we're hoping that over the next 20 years or so we can realize that master plan. It essentially creates 5 biodiversity hotspots within the zoo. We have the Asian jungle in there. We have the American Andes. We have Madagascar. We have the African rainforest, and we even have California in there. Two of the things that are happening now are we're designing a new front entrance to the Charles Paddock Zoo, which will include new gift shop, new admissions window, that type of thing. Virtually everything involved with our current front entrance is really dilapidated and needs to be replaced. We're hoping to put in classrooms and offices for the Zoo Society. And probably the main thing that we're going to be accomplishing this next year is new restrooms. You may know, if you've been into the zoo, it has a single unisex restroom that does not meet the American Zoo and Aquarium Association standards. It was an issue the last time we were accredited. Currently, the zoo is going through the process of being reviewed for accreditation. Once again, it happens every 5 years. And so we know, unless we show significant progress, that'll be something that could hang us up, so to speak, with the accreditation that's going to be under review in these next couple of months. In fact, we have a team, a veterinarian from another zoo and a director from another zoo. They're visiting the Charles Paddock Zoo in December, and so we'll be receiving our accreditation report shortly thereafter, and then Alan Baker, the zoo director, and I will go to Oklahoma City to sit before a 20-member accreditation commission and answer all their questions. Paloma Creek Park. Paloma Creek Park is probably the most active park that we have in terms of softball fields there. One of our proudest accomplishments this last year was being able to install the new playground that was sorely needed at Paloma Creek Park. Prior to that, we had some like 1970s steel play equipment out there that really heated up in the summer sun. And in fact, softballs would sort of rain down over the fence into that area. We were able to move the the new playground, which you see on the slide here, away from the softball fields, and they have shade structures over them. This happens to be, there's actually two play apparatus out there. One's for 5 years of age and under, and this one is more for 5 and up, 5 to 12-year-olds. But it's a fantastic piece of equipment, and the kids just love it. One of the final projects that we're going to be doing at Paloma Creek Park, which will start probably the end of this year, is our lighting of the ball fields needs to be replaced. For many years, I would always ask for funding for these lights to be replaced, because whenever we have inclement weather, high winds, even earthquake, these poles are at risk. In fact, we've had them inspected. One of them actually has like a splint on it because it cracked in the earthquake that damaged City Hall. And so these lights that we have there now are not efficient. They emit a lot of spill and glare, which of course annoys the neighbors around there. And so when we get the new lights, we've already placed the order. They're being shipped. We should have them in the next month or so. PG&E is partnering with us to install the lights, so they're going to take down these existing lights and install the new lights for us, saving the city of Atascadero a considerable amount of money. And then we're going to see much more efficient lighting out there, and it will reduce the spill and glare in the neighborhood around Paloma Creek Park. I wanted to just mention Stadium Park briefly. Most of you are familiar with Stadium Park, although, again, it's one of those probably lesser-known parks within the system. Originally, Stadium Park was 26 acres when we first obtained what's called an ICE-T grant to purchase Stadium Park. Since that time, the Atascadero Land Preservation Society has added 4 acres on the north. City acquired some property from Mike Molina through a transfer of development credits and things like that. So we've been expanding Stadium Park. There are some issues with regard to future use and public use of Stadium Park. Principally, the access easement that we have is only 10 feet wide, and it straddles 5 feet of the Alps property and 5 feet of the Renzaglia Hughes property. The primary problem with that is where the road is, which is roughly 15 to 18 feet wide, is mostly on Mr. Renzaglia's property, and the road really isn't, or the path isn't really half 5 feet on his property and half on the Alps property. So the city council has been meeting in closed session and is discussing potentially buying additional property from Mr. Renzaglia and Ms. Hughes so that we can actually own the road that's being used now. And once that issue is resolved, we'll have greater access to Stadium Park. We'll be able to meet some of the fire department requirements for getting in and out. And we'll be able to, if we wish, install utilities such as water and electricity and that type of thing. There has been some use of Stadium Park, but primarily right now it's open space with trails. We do expect to have a public safety plan, which will address fire issues and things like that. And we hope to be able to bring a final use policy before the city council sometime next year, and once all of this is resolved. Stadium Park does have a nice trail system. On the slide behind me, you can see it shows the Alps trails leading into Stadium Park Bowl. This is the bowl here, and there's the Pine Mountain Loop, which is the trails up on top of Pine Mountain. And there's a really nice Blue Oak Trail that runs along the hillsides through the underneath the oak canopies within Stadium Park. This leads me to the subject of trails. We have a number of trails in Atascadero. We have the Juan Bautista De Anza Trail. We have trails on Mutual Water Company property, which are part of the Anza Trail. We have trails which are on our wastewater treatment plant property as part of De Anza Trail. in Stadium Park. And we also had a Cal Poly senior do her senior project and created a new trail guide for us, and Jeff has copies of that. I wanted to talk about the newest trail project that's coming up, and I know there's a lot of public interest in this, and that's the Atascadero Creek Trail Enhancement Project. It's the former Resource Conservation District project, which they abandoned, I guess you could say, and the city took over. The funding for that is Prop 40, and the objectives are passive recreation, riparian habitat restoration, and education. A lot of the scoping of that project was done by the Resource Conservation District. We're coming in and taking over. There's really two halves of the project, which I'll show you. Some of the benefits to the city are it addresses general plan goals and the city's pedestrian-friendly goals. It contributes to the city's need to meet state-mandated improvements in water quality and meets the community desire for environmental enhancement. We're going to complete the project by starting a new public process, even though there was quite a bit of public process that had been done by the Resource Conservation District. We feel that in order to make sure everybody's educated about the trail and has a voice in the scoping of the trail that remains to be completed, that we want to make sure everyone understands what's being done, why, and has a chance to give input. We're expecting that public process will take place in the summer of 2009. The project also helps implement the city's plan for downtown. The slide behind me, I'm sure you're all familiar with, but one of the things that we're going to do, and probably the major segment of this portion that the city's taking over, is the portion here downtown. And it essentially goes from the sunken gardens here in El Camino Real, and the trail will go along the creek, down along Capistrano. It'll connect to Stadium Park, and the trail's there. And it goes on down past the school district office, and it will wind up here at Colony Park, and you can see it's shown in the Colony Park master plan. And by the way, this is a slide of the original master plan for Colony Park, which shows the two ball fields that are currently here being moved. We're not going to recommend that those ball fields be moved, but stay where they are. And so the trail will go down, and by the way, this is the skate park right here, which is operated by Esteem. Overview of community input, value of habitat restoration, desire walking and equestrian trails. Concern. A lot of times people gave us concerns about safety and privacy. There were concerns about off-road vehicles, concerns about maintenance costs, and concerns about disturbing wildlife. With regard to restoration, there will be we're going to take out some non-native plants in the creek reservation and replace those with riparian vegetation. We're looking at bank protection, particularly this section behind us here on Capistrano, across from the Stadium Park entrance. There's a lot of erosion behind the junior high, and the banks are very steep. That makes it very challenging. They're looking at bank protection, at least as much as we could afford in some of those areas to lessen erosion in those areas, removing noxious weeds and create some privacy screens. This is some slides of some riparian vegetation restoration. In some areas, we'll use existing walkways and bridges. This is the bridge near the school district office. And this shows the link, which is to Stadium Park going on under Highway 41. We project the annual maintenance to be approximately $30,000 to $60,000 a year. There are currently no funds budgeted for project maintenance right now. However, this project was approved by the City Council when they agreed to partner with the Resource Conservation District. The city has to agree to maintain all the trail enhancements for a period of 20 years, and it's anticipated that the maintenance costs could be reduced if we are able to bring in volunteers and other community partnerships to help reduce that. Some of the other community issues, safety was one of the top issues. We haven't seen an increase in crime in other trails in the city, but that's always a concern. Off-road vehicle access in some areas, if it ends up going all the way down to the Salinas River and connecting to the De Anza Trail, off-road vehicles have been somewhat of a nuisance down there, to say the least, and so that's something we're going to have to be aware of. I also mentioned here, will the project threaten private property rights? There's been a lot of concern about private property rights, and one of the things that we hope to do as we go through the public process is educate people about, you know, where the trail will go, how it will be used, and hope to dampen some of those concerns about private property rights. Community partnerships, we hope to mirror some of the success with Amigos De Anza, where we have volunteers working to help us maintain the Juan Bautista De Anza Trail. This slide shows, and I know it's pretty hard to see, but this is the portion of the trail that the city is taking over from the Resource Conservation District, at least the western segment. Here's Colony Park. You can see the ball fields there. There's the Salinas River. This is El Camino Real. So taking the trail down here to at least this area where we have the skate park. It remains to be seen if we will continue the trail down along Ensenada and down to the Salinas River. It's a lot more problematic to install the trail in that area. The Resource Conservation District, in fact, only proposed painting lines in the street on Ensenada rather than trying to locate the trail on the creek side of people's property. Also, there's some challenges here as you go into the railroad bridge. It's very narrow. And then we would hook up, if we were to complete the Resource Conservation District plan, which remains to be seen, it would connect to the Juan Bautista De Anza Trail on Water Company property there at the confluence of the Salinas and Atascadero Creek. The portion of the trail that's largely completed is this western portion of the trail, and this is the lake park here. You can see Alvord Field. This is Portola, Highway 41. The Resource Conservation did complete most of this project. It's probably 90% complete from Portola all along Highway 41 and the creek to San Gabriel Road. They were originally proposing to take it beyond San Gabriel Road, but there was a lot of public resistance, so they abandoned or dropped that portion of the trail. The portions that the city still needs to complete along this segment here are those portions which involve improvements in the Caltrans right-of-way. They had a lot of time-consuming hoops to jump through, so to speak, in order to get encroachment permits and things like that. And so the city's going to come in, get the rest of the permits that need to be received. It primarily involves the pedestrian crossings at Portola Road, where there's a light that goes over to the New Mexican restaurant, and then where the new light is on San Gabriel Road, that corner. Those are the areas that still need to be completed on this western segment of the Atascadero Trail Enhancement Project. So here's the timeline. August 2008, the City Council accepted the grant. Then in September, this should be September of 2008, the city received authorization of the grant from the state. So we essentially, they had to give the grant back, our Resource Conservation District. Then we had to be approved to receive the grant. Fall of winter 2008, we're going to finish the permits with Caltrans on the western reach of State Route 41. And then next summer, we plan to finish construction on the reach between Portola and San Gabriel Roads. So that'll be that western portion that I just showed you. Then in the summer of 2009, we're going to go through our public process for the eastern segment that we're going to do. And then in the winter of 2010, we'll be designing the western reach from ECR on east to toward the Salinas River. So that's when we'll be in design. And then we'll be in construction in spring, summer, and fall of 2010. And by fall of 2010, we anticipate the project will be complete. We have until May of 2011 to finish the project, otherwise the grant money goes away. So that's the timeline. So that concludes my Parks and Trails briefing. I'd be happy to answer any questions if I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Brady. Let's break up the questions into two pieces and have it on the park section first. I'll have the commissioners ask questions, and if the public would like to, raise your hand and we'll open it up for you as well. Are there any questions on parks? Commissioner Moreno?
Hi, thank you for that presentation. With regard to some of the softball fields, I think you say it seems like there's maybe two places where there's some lighted softball fields. Are there any lighted Little League fields anywhere in the parks?
No. The major field for Little League is at Paloma Creek Park. It's not lit at this time. They also use a number of elementary schools for their fields. I coached Little League for a long time when my son was that age, and at the current time there are no lighted Little League fields.
Is there any plan to light that? It's my understanding that sometimes they're needing to go out of town to play games and things like that because of the lighting issue. Is there anything in the works?
No, there isn't currently a plan to light that. They've been looking at, you know, trying to get lights from a former golf course driving range and different things like that. But those lights are really unsuitable, like the lights we're taking down at the softball fields now. And with the new development that's occurred around Paloma Creek Park, it would be very difficult to use inferior lighting at the Little League field. So what I've told them is there's actually higher and better uses of their money because they can use the softball fields that are lit for their games at night if they need to, and they have done that in the past, in years past. One of the things I think they need to do is put in a higher backstop because they lose a lot of balls in the creek there at Paloma Creek, and that would be one thing. And they also need shade on the first base side in the bleachers there at Paloma. So they don't have a lot of money. They really can't afford lights, so with their limited funds, there's probably better ways to spend their money.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Oakey?
With regard to Apple Valley Park, is that turf that's irrigated? I was under the impression that that was going to be pretty much left in its natural state because the creek abuts up to that.
There is irrigated turf there. However, there's quite a buffer because there's a dense stand of oak trees along the creek there. I don't really know how wide that is, but in fact, I was just out there the other day, and there's quite a buffer between the actual creek bank and the turf.
All right. I noticed that part of it looked like it was irrigated, but I didn't get out and look at the whole thing. So,
yeah, I would say there's... I don't know how much is square footage is actually irrigated, but it's there. You couldn't play soccer or anything out there like that. It's a pretty small patch of turf.
It was supposed to be left that way. There was some controversy at first.
I'm not aware of that. As far as I knew, it was always going to be irrigated, but maybe Jeff has more information.
No, I'm talking about turning it into softball fields.
Oh, no. I mean, it's too small. It's a passive park. Sure. You could take little kids out there, like T-ball players could probably use it, but that's about all.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes, Brady. Outstanding. Having served on the Parks and Rec Commission, I know what magic you work with very little funding, so... well done.
Thank you.
And unfortunate for the, I don't know what happened between with the Resource Conservation District, but that's going to be a challenge.
Yes. Well, thank you for those comments, Commissioner Jack. I do want to also pass the credit along to Jeff and everybody in Public Works. They do a magnificent job with the capital projects as well as maintenance.
That they do. Thank you.
I have a question. This is regarding parking at Paloma Creek Park. I know that there's a no parking area that's along El Camino, and it's often filled with cars. Just wondered if there was any alternative plans for increasing parking, perhaps in the tree area that's near El Camino, or perhaps another area?
Well, we've been looking at that because it is quite often a major issue. We recently had a fundraising softball tournament out there that coincided to a youth football playoffs or some kind of preseason tournament, and it was just horrendous. Luckily, we were able to get all parties together, and we actually organized the parking in the horse arena, and there's a dirt parking lot there, and we organized all that parking, and we actually ran shuttles from the Methodist Church in the Nazarene Church down there, but people still parked, as you mentioned, Chairperson Fonzie, on Viejo Camino, and they're lucky they didn't get tickets because it's a safety hazard, especially people crossing that narrow street. Sometimes when cars are parked on both sides, you might not even be able to get a fire engine down Viejo Camino. We have looked. One of the things that happened recently, probably a couple of years ago now, we purchased Paloma Creek Park from the state, so we now own it. When I first came to the city, Paloma Creek Park was operated by the city in the county, owned by the state. So when a group like Little League wanted to do something out there, they had to go through all three bureaucracies to get something done. Fortunately now, you know, Paloma Creek Park has been annexed into the city. We own it and maintain it, so we have a lot more control. When we purchased the property from the state, we actually got a little sliver of property out off of Halcon Road, and we've been looking at what we might do with that. We may be able to create some more parking there, but there are pretty limited options out there for parking. Parking also is a major issue at the lake park as well. And like for the Veterans Memorial, we're going to be running a couple of shuttles from three different satellite locations to get people to the lake park. And so we're hoping at Colony Park we can do a little better, and when we revise the master plan, is get some additional parking in that park.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
You mentioned that little sliver of land along Halcon. That is at the triangular piece, because that's where there's boulders right now, and we're looking at doing some planting there.
That's the property I was talking about, and it may be difficult to...
That's a drainage area, you know.
Yeah, I haven't really...
Well, I just wanted to get this up on the radar because
that's good
we've
to
been
know.
Working with Warren, and we're looking at doing planting out there, and that's one of the areas that's identified for both Sycamore and Valley Oak, but right now you have boulders to keep people out of there. So.
Right, and it's very close to Paloma Creek, which is sensitive habitat, so parking may not work there, but that, as I mentioned, there aren't many places where you could add parking around
Paloma. I just didn't want any surprises for you.
Yeah,
so
that's.
That
I'm glad
together.
You brought that up, because I hadn't heard that.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I had a question about the ADA compliance for the stadium park access, that there's currently a very difficult way of getting in if you were in a walker or a wheelchair, and I wonder if that was going to be addressed.
Yes, we actually are applying for community development block grant funds to improve ADA access at our parks. We have some barriers to remove at almost all of our public facilities. We were just talking about Little League a moment ago at Paloma. We don't really have a good way for someone in a wheelchair, for example, to get from the parking lot to the ball field stands, grandstands. And so that pipe rail fence that was installed around Stadium Park was installed by the Land Preservation Society, and it does need to be improved so that it creates better access and isn't a barrier to Stadium Park. So we'll be looking at that, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Brady. Would anybody in the audience like to ask any questions or come to the podium regarding the park? Sir, go ahead.
I'm Tom Johnson, and well done. That was a nice presentation, and obviously you've done a lot of work. The only question I had is regarding the overflow basin in Colony Park. And my question is, if it had to be used, what would be the level of treatment of that effluent that would go in there? And is there any chance it would fill up to a point where it would exit that area? And where would it go?
Well, to give you an example, I've been with the city just about 15 years, almost 15 years. And the current basin, the overflow basin that exists there now, which is much larger than the one that's proposed, has only been had to be used once, and that was in 1995 when we had severe rains. And normally what happens is our wastewater collection system, the sewer systems, become inundated with runoff, storm runoff, and that's when the overflow basin comes into play. The engineers are designing the new basin, although it be smaller, to where it will handle peak storms such as 100-year storms and that type of thing. The one time when the current basin was used that I can recall, the entire basin there, which is probably just under 3/4 of an acre, it was only about 8 inches deep. So it was, and if you've seen the current basin there, the sloped sides of that basin are probably 5 or 6 feet high. So it has never come close to overflowing. And that particular year of 1995, I can remember, especially along Ensenada and going down through River Gardens, the Tascadero Creek was almost up to the top of the banks. So I think you could say that if it didn't overflow or wasn't close to overflowing then, it's doubtful that you'd have an event where it would overflow, particularly the way they're designing the new basin. It'll be smaller but deeper. Yes. Now, it is mixed with some wastewater, and it is untreated. So I need to be clear about that, that when it does overflow, it is primarily stormwater, but it's mixed with wastewater.
If I could interject, Jeff English, Public Works, that basin currently is designed so that when there is effluent that flows into that basin, after the flows recede, actually gravity feeds right back into our system. So it doesn't sit and perk back in. It actually goes back into our system and is sent to the treatment plant. It is currently unlined. The new facility will be lined.
Thank you. I'm going to close it to the public just temporarily. We'll open it again, but let's bring it back to talk about any questions that commissioners have about the trail system. Commissioner O'Keefe?
I have two. One has to do with the trail that was put in between San Gabriel and Portola. There's a very, very serious yellow star thistle problem there. And that yellow star thistle is going to end up even covering the paths if something isn't done. Unfortunately, with yellow star thistle, you can't say on a certain date you're going to mow it. You have to make that determination based upon the weather and, when it looks like it's going to be blooming. You need at least 2 cuts to be able to control it. And because you're so close to the creek there, my understanding is that spraying is not an option like we did at Heilman Park to control it. Some of us, some persistent females, did get out there and do some hand digging and cutting, but that's just a very serious problem. And as I said, you can't just say on such and such a date you're going to do it. It needs to be each season, it needs to be looked at and fit in there. And then the other question I have is with regard to there was open space on what used to be called that Woodlands Project. Who's putting in the trails there and who's responsible for those?
I can answer both of those questions. Regarding the star thistle along Atascadero Creek, we do recognize that there's a substantial problem with star thistle along Atascadero Creek, particularly between Portola and San Gabriel.
That's what I was pointing out.
Correct. We are aware of it. is something that is difficult to manage. We do not at this point have the staff resources to go manage that and take care of it. I would like to do that, and we hopefully with this project will be able to do some non-native removal. That is one of the portions of the grant, and that's an area that we would like to focus on, is non-native removal from that portion of the trail. For some reason, that seems to be worse than other areas, and we will be focusing on that in this upcoming funding portion of the trail.
Well, one of the reasons it's such a problem is because yellow star thistle doesn't grow where there's shade, and there's that's virtually open to the sun at all times. And at Heilman, we are getting that somewhat under control, but we do have an option with using a selective herbicide out there. It's not nearly as bad. In addition to just doing some weed abate, you know, just cutting it.
And you are correct. We have specifically not used herbicide in the creek area. Specifically because it is near Atascadero Creek. Regarding the open space at Las Lomas, that open space has yet to be turned over to the city. It will eventually be in a landscape and lighting district. That project was a condition of the development. The developer hired the CCCs to build the trail. I actually have a couple slides I can show you here in a minute of the trail portions. They are complete, and we are anticipating that the developer, who has gone into foreclosure, and there's now a bank receiver who's taken over the project, that bank receiver has hired a landscaper who's actually in the process of bringing that project back into compliance, back into acceptable condition. We anticipate that they should be done within the next 2 to 3 weeks, completing all the conditions of us accepting that landscape and lighting district, which includes the trails.
Okay. Is there signage out there for the trails?
Yes, there is. There are signs on the trails, and they will be open to the public. We anticipate going to the council most likely at the end of November with that acceptance. Okay. At that time, we'll notify people that they're available to the public.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? I had one. I know the public has some concerns regarding possible easements across their property for trails. Could you address that concern?
Yes. To keep it short, there are no plans that I'm aware of to ask for or try to obtain easements across private property for
Very
the
good.
Trails.
Okay, and I was wondering if you have any plans to incorporate youth that are doing community service work into trail cleanup or maintenance.
Yes, one of the things that's been very successful over the years is the Atascadero Creek cleanup, which occurs every year. And we're hoping to start something similar for our trails and do that annually, as well as put together crews that have community service to do, because all the kids at the high school have community service, and we also have court-appointed referrals to do community service, and a lot of them are used at the zoo, for example. And there are other kids such as Eagle Scouts, Boy Scouts, and even Cal Poly students contact us from time to time. All of those different groups and students would be recruited to do trail maintenance, which would help a great deal.
Very good. One last question for you, for me anyway. This was regarding trails that would be between El Camino Real and heading down towards the river. Would that be the trails be established within the Creek Reservation area, or would they be on private property?
All of the trails that we're contemplating now would either be in the Creek Reservation or in the right-of-way. There are no plans that I can think of to use private property. The only areas would have been that property that the Historical Society used to have the lease with the school district. Now that is owned by the city, so that's one of those issues that's sort of taken care of itself. So I can't think of any private property at all that would be involved in those in the completion of that western reach. And I think the areas, we may end up discontinuing the trail at the skate park because the highest priority would be that section between El Camino Real and the skate park. The rest of that looks like it will be very difficult to complete.
Thank you. I'd like to open it to the public if anybody would like to speak on this item.
Good evening again, Jim Shannon. Jeff and Brady, great job on what you guys have done. I mean, my hat's off to you guys and the people that work under you and all the stuff they do for us here in the city, the parks and all that. Not a problem with any of that. I do have questions on the creek path itself, mostly from El Camino to what we're going to do, and it's mostly safety issues and the cost. I know that I lived next to Testrail Creek over off of Portola back in the year after the Highway 41 floods, or the Highway 41 fire, we had the floods. That water went up where that path is built. That water will take that path out that's there, the bridges and everything there. It will take that out. And my concern is, who's going to pay to rebuild that? And the same thing with the path we're going to build here. There's cost that's going to be involved. When we do have a wet year, that stuff is going to get washed away. And I have concerns with that. Also, the safety to the public. I know that we're going to cut a path into the creek, the same creek that, you know, during the creek setback, the people that wanted the setback were talking about the damage to the riparian areas and polluting the water. Now we're going to have people walking down there. They're going to have water bottles. They're going to have snack bars, whatever. That trash is going to end up somewhere in the creek. Are there going to be trash cans out there for people to put the stuff in? Are they going to just drop their trash? They're going to have their dogs. They're going to have their horses. They're going to be doing their waste on that path. That could get down into the creek water. I mean, those are issues and concerns I have. I mean, I haven't heard that brought up. The other concern is, I mean, I know you know San Luis Obispo has their path down there that they walk on and stuff, and there's crime and some violent crime down there. And we do have a bit of a homeless problem down in the creek. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but there is. And so there's issues. I know we're going to have the path to go from the junior high to Colony Park and the skate park and all that, but it brings up concerns with the possibility of a crime against a child or anybody. I mean, God forbid, but San Luis has had violent crimes, including murder and rape and sexual assault, that kind of stuff, and those are concerns I have. I do have about a 10 or 12 page thing that I had written up and questions I have when this originally came up several months ago and that I put together that I'll probably condense and present it to you guys. But I'm all for it, but there's a lot of concerns and a lot of costs that we need to look at. I know that same night that Mr. Brindler and I think Supervisor Patterson here spoke for it, said it was pretty much a no-brainer to to leverage the funds to get the money from the state, and that's fine, but I think that cost is going up every day, so there's also that added cost that we have to look at. And my biggest concern, also, how are we going to police that? I mean, with the crime that could happen down there, I mean, are we going to have the police down there checking that every once in a while to keep people safe and taking care of the less than delightful people that might be hanging around along the creek? So there's concerns there, and we need to look at that, too, of the cost and what we're going to do when we do have a wet year and it all gets washed away. So those are all things we need to look at. But I'm all for it, but we need to seriously look at that and how we're going to be able to pay for all that stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Would anybody else like to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment portion and bring those questions back to either Brady or Jeff.
Okay. Yes. Chairperson Fonzie, members of the commission, Mr. Shannon brings up some excellent points. We have considered a number of those issues before in we presented this to the city council. The city council has already approved the project, so they agreed to take this project on. And one of the major concerns city staff has is when they did decide to construct these trails, that there wasn't funding set aside for maintenance. So just as Commissioner O'Keefe mentioned, this star thistle issue is one of many issues that we don't have the resources to address. And so we told the city council, I can remember in the report, you know, it's going to be $30,000 and up in annual maintenance for this trail, but none of those funds were actually set aside in the budget to do the maintenance. So you probably saw at the last city council meeting, just as an example, city staff is now asking city council that any time they add a new project or a new facility or cost to our ongoing operating budgets, we either have to have additional funding that goes with it, or we have to cut something else that we're doing in another area. So you saw, for example, in the case where we made the decision to install the turf on the corner of the lake park where the new memorial is going in, we also asked the council to reduce a like amount of turf elsewhere in the park system. Those are the kinds of trade-offs that we're going to have to make in the future, especially as we roll into these next two fiscal years, the budget cycle we're coming up on. We won't be able to add any more sand to that 5-pound sack because it's overflowing now. And so Mr. Shannon's right. I mean, I remember looking at that area near the Portola Bridge, and it was virtually at Highway 41, and then it actually flooded a number of homes on Carmelita, and I have pictures of those, and there one home had 10 inches of water in it, in fact, down on Carmelita, one of the lower areas. And so it's true that that portion of the trail could very well wash out. And as I mentioned in my presentation, we, the city of Atascadero, have to maintain that trail for 20 years. So the council's already bought into that. They've approved it. So that's a maintenance liability that we're taking on for 20 years. And so that's very much a concern. The issues of safety and security have also been discussed. Certainly the police department has talked about, you know, maybe having some of their officers on bicycles, you know, going up and down the trails as they do sometimes different times of the year downtown here. But these are genuine concerns that we are hoping to address, particularly as we design this western segment.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you so much. That was an excellent presentation, both of you. All right, let's bring this down to commissioner comments and reports. Commissioner O'Keefe?
I have a question for Warren, and I believe that Kennedy Motorcycles moved out of the location that they were on the corner of Traffic Way and El Camino, and that's a conditional use permit. So if they're out of there, how long, when does that conditional use permit expire?
That's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head when it expires.
I thought if something wasn't used for a certain period of time, then...
Well, on a non-conforming use, it's a 6 months and then it expires. But this isn't a non-conforming use. This is a use permit. So the use permit runs with the land, and I don't know what actually would cause it to expire. That's a good question. So let me look into that.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Moreno?
This question, I believe, is for Warren. I understand that the City Council approved a public workshop to go ahead for the basin plan that's coming down from Regional Water.
Yes.
And I'm being asked, is there a date yet in mind for when that workshop will be?
I believe we have a tentative date. We haven't announced it publicly, so...
Okay.
We're looking right now tentatively at the week of November 10th, and I imagine we'll be confirming an exact date on that week in the next couple days or so.
So the meeting would be before the 14th, the workshop?
It will be before the 14th, okay. And staff met today to talk about it. So we're going to be working on getting press releases and information out. We're looking to invite some members of the regional board to come and answer questions. What we're trying to do is set up some sort of dialogue between the community and the regional board so that the interests and concerns of the community can get communicated up to the board.
Okay, so that was the other question, was would a representative be there? And just to put in, if it could possibly be Roger Briggs, that would be nice.
Yeah, staff's right now working on contacting the board, and we're going to try to get the best people to represent the board here.
Okay.
Obviously, it's going to be up to them in terms of who they sent, but we'll try to get the right
request,
people here.
Right?
We can always ask.
Thank you, Warren.
Any other commissioner comments, reports? Just a question. Commissioner O'Keefe, isn't this coming Saturday the Day of the Oak?
Yes, it is.
Could you speak to that just a little bit for the public's benefit?
Well, there was an insert. Possibly Warren or Steve might want to read it. But the Atascadero Native Tree Association and the city are jointly putting on this Day of the Oak, which is at the pavilion. The program starts at 9, and there will be 3 separate presentations.
Very good.
We certainly would like to invite the public out. All the seedlings that we expected to get won't be available, but that's the way Mother Nature works sometimes. She makes you very humble.
Thank you, Joan. I think that's all of our reports, a director's report.
Yes. As we spoke at your last meeting, we're going to cancel the meeting of November 4th. That's election night, so we'll cancel that. Your next meeting will then be November 18th. And right now we don't really have anything ready for that agenda either, so it's been fairly quiet and fairly light. So we'll see how that comes together. As we just talked about, we are working on scheduling that report or that meeting to discuss the basin plan. We're also working with the regional board on our stormwater management plan. We have asked for some additional time. We were previously under requirement from the board to submit a revised plan by the end of this month. We're asking for additional time. Purpose of that is so that we can conduct more public outreach on that process as well. So we're working with the board. That's being spearheaded by Public Works. In terms of just some projects that are going on around town, Sylvester's Burger, next to the Sunken Gardens, they do have all their building permits now. They are under construction, so we're hoping to get that project up and running fairly soon. They'll have a nice outdoor patio under the oak tree. They'll be serving hamburgers and fries, and they'll also have a beer and wine. So we're thinking that's going to be a real good addition to the downtown. The Rite Aid project is really close to being ready to go. We're just working with the architect on getting the last couple things put together on the Caltrans right-of-ways and that sort of thing. The Carl's Jr., same thing. They've got their foundation formed up. They're working on a revision to the kitchen before they pour that, but that looks like that's going to move forward. Jack in the Box over at West Front Village next to the Holiday Inn Express, they have also submitted their building permits, so that's in plan check right now. And I think those are the big projects. We're continuing to work with Colony Square, Jim Harrison on the theater and the revisions. So that project is still moving along slowly, but it's still moving forward. That will conclude my report.
Excellent. Thank you. And I will adjourn the meeting at 8:25.